Pastor Rob as he comes up to share the word.
Thanks, Pastor Ben. That men's camp looks exciting. Doesn't it, men? Knew you'd be excited by that. Well, I'd like to say welcome this morning. If this is your first visit, or your 10th visit, or your millionth visit, we just welcome you today. We love you, and we want to bless you in the name of the Lord. Someone gave us a little prophetic word this morning I'd like to share with you. And if you get something from God, would you just write it down and hand it to us? And I won't promise that we'll always share it, because sometimes it's not appropriate for the whole community, but some are. And so let me read this one to you. It said, I saw a picture. The Holy Spirit was working, hovering over the congregation. So, so beautiful, so, so glorious. He was hovering, looking for the hearts that were soft to receive His Spirit, His seed, His love. Some hearts were ready, and the seed dropped in to the waiting hearts, and a tree began to grow. He said, your heart will produce much fruit. Many will come and find shelter and nourishment with you. He said, there are some who say, I have no need of this, but I give it so you can bless others, not just your great needs. Soften your hearts and prepare the ground for my seed. So that's a word of encouragement to us, that we ought to have prepared hearts and open spirits. How good. Well, I want to continue the theme of missions this morning. We were looking at Brett and Val. They've done a fantastic job in Kununurra. Took on a church, they built it, they've done so much there. And at their expense, I might add, they've spent a lot of their own money. Now, we as a church support them financially, and I'm going to talk to the board about increasing that finance because they just do a fantastic job. But I really want you to get behind this air conditioning project. Muffins are a win-win. You donate to missions and you get some muffins. That's great. Muffins are always lovely. But we can do better. And I'm challenging you this morning. Why don't you say, I'm going to take on a project. I'm going to raise a third of an air conditioner. I'm going to get with a couple of people. We're going to raise the whole lot of one air conditioner. That would be so powerful. And it says something to the people over there, not just Brett and Val, but the people in that church. It says there are people who love you enough to give. And that's what I want this church to be. A church that loves people, a church prepared to give. Okay. Our church is built on five pillars. It was something the Spirit of God gave us many years ago. And the first pillar is the presence of God. We welcome the presence of God in this church. We want the presence of God. We believe that's essential. It's very hard to grow without the presence. And I've always said to you, a moment in the presence of God can do something in your life that years of preaching will not change. And so we want the presence. And I'm praying that you felt the presence this morning, and it continues to linger throughout this service. The second pillar is worship. Hey, stop talking. Hey, shh, I'm talking. Sorry, I got distracted. The second pillar is worship. And of course, that's linked to presence. When we worship God with a whole heart, the presence of the Lord comes. The third pillar is discipleship, because we believe that we should be growing with Christ and also then discipling others. The fourth pillar is missions, and the fifth pillar is education. And that's why we have a Christian school, why we're involved with organisations that are working with education in other places like Africa, in Borneo, and Sri Lanka, etc. We just think that's an essential part of what we should do as missions. So let me just give you some thoughts on that. Jesus gave a great command. In Matthew 22, he said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, love your brother as yourself. And so when somebody asked him who his brother was, he gave the example of the Good Samaritan, how this Samaritan helped a Jew, which was unheard of at that time, would have shocked the Jews to hear that story. So it was really, your brother is anyone who's in need. And then he gave the Great Commission in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we have those from Jesus. You know, we declared Jesus to be Lord. We were singing that song, I want to sacrifice for you, I want to give my heart for you, I want you to set me on fire. But Jesus said, some people say, or call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say. And that is a trap, that we can declare Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, and when he comes along and says, I want you to do this, we say, Lord, I'll take that under advisement, which really means I'm going to go away and think about it, and if it doesn't really suit me, I probably am not going to do it. We've got to have a heart in lordship of saying, I hear you, Lord, I'm going to respond. And put aside what the cost may be or what the loss of our reputation may be or anything like that and say, God, I'm here for you. I want to serve you. I do want to sacrifice for you. I want to sacrifice. We don't know really what sacrifice is in this country when you compare it with other nations around the world. But we should have a heart of sacrifice to God Almighty. Say, Lord, it's yours and I yield to you. You know, we face, if you're a born-again Christian, Jesus is alive in your heart. We face a judgment. It's called the Bema Seat judgment. And it's not about whether we go to heaven or hell. It's about what we've done on the earth. And in my constant reading of Scripture, one thing stands out. It's not how much we accomplish, but whether we were obedient. That's what Jesus seeks. And so it's not what you do for him. It's when we're here, it's not what I will accomplish for Jesus, but have I been obedient what he called me to do? And so here am I, trying to be obedient, trying to hear the voice of the Lord, walking with him, saying, Lord, just I'm willing to do what you say, and my heart's open to that. I want to be obedient to you. And the same thing is to you. Be faithful in your obedience. So in the Bema seat, we get rewards and crowns. Or if we've not done much, everything's burnt up, but we're still saved. So when we think about, I want to talk about the Great Commission. It's co-mission. In other words, we're in it together. It's people coming together to have a mission. And whether we're sending people overseas and helping them there, or whether we're helping them locally, and that's what our church seeks to do, whether we work in connect groups, whether we're working in discipleship programs, we're working in our giving programs so that we can help. It's all part of it. So let me just say, what is missions? Missions is conveying the gospel in word or deed. So it can be across the back fence or across the world. When I am with my neighbour and I'm listening to my neighbour and I'm letting them share problems, and then I may get the opportunity of saying, can I, you know, I hear your problem, could I pray for you? Or can I help you in some way? Can I purchase something for you? Can I come across the fence and do something for you? That's missions, because it's showing the love of God. You know, Jesus went to many people and shared the love of God with them by healing them. But where were they today? They're probably many of those people never made it to heaven. Why? Because they received the healing power of God, but didn't sort of then follow Jesus, didn't respond to the love that he showed them, the love of God that's there. But that didn't stop him doing it. He healed so many people, but they didn't follow him. Only a handful followed Jesus. Now, I'm hoping many of those people were subsequently saved as the gospel was portrayed throughout the region there at that time. They responded to that. That's what I pray, but it probably didn't happen for everybody. So you see, what Jesus is saying to us, you've got to cast the seed. As he told the story, put the sower went out to sow, and the seed fell on the path, it fell in the bushes where it didn't prosper, it fell in the rocks where nothing happened. And then, of course, the seed fell on good ground and produced. So Jesus didn't say, don't throw your seed out there. Better to keep your seed for yourself than take the risk. And he didn't say, be careful how you put the seed out there. He said, you sow the seed. You hear my point this morning. We sow the seed. There are people with whom we will share love, that we will pray for, that we'll do our best for, and they will not receive Jesus. But that shouldn't stop us showing the love of God. We should have a heart that says, I'm going to keep doing that. Because that says more about us than about them. Do you understand? Because we're being obedient to God in that, and in that obedience, God can do things. Let's not give up on anybody. Let's keep sowing the seed. Let's try to help people. Let's keep loving people. So That's the commission. Missions is neighbourhood to nations. And then why is it important? Because it fulfills what Jesus said to do. And it's important to God. God's heart is people. He cares for people. The Bible said God takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. So we understand that God doesn't want people to go to hell, but many will. Most will, unfortunately. We look at the percentages, a smaller percentage will go to heaven than to hell. And we should always keep our hearts right for God's Spirit to say, we don't want people to go to hell and we will do something about it. Now, I'm not asking you to save the world. I'm not asking you to go and preach to millions, but do what you can do is the important thing. And as I said, be obedient to the Lord. What's he saying to you? Does he say to you, go and make a friend of your neighbour? Or bake a cake for your neighbour? Bake some muffins. Take them some muffins from today. Share them around. Bless your neighbour. Bless your friends. Bless your workmates. Whatever it might be. Just begin to share the love of God with people. In 1989, I went to Singapore to a missions conference. I heard a man speak. I heard some great speakers there, amazing speakers. One was a woman who was working in Nepal, and it was a very difficult situation for a woman to be working there. Another was a man named Irvin Rutherford, who's been in our church a number of times. And he made this statement, which has always stuck in my heart. He said, live simply that others might simply live. And we could add on the tag for eternity. Live simply that others might simply live for eternity. My wife and I have taken that as really our guiding principle, that we've not sought to live at the level of what our income might be or our wealth might be, but to live a simple lifestyle. Now, our simple lifestyle by world standards is probably luxury, but by Australian standards, I think we can say we live a good lifestyle, but not a luxurious lifestyle. I don't want to live there. I want to live a simple lifestyle so I can be a blessing to others. And so in that process, I came home and we were praying, and I said, I think we ought to sell our house and give the money to missions. And I just paid the mortgage off, by the way, at that stage. And my wife was in agreement. She said, well, we could do that. Let's do that. And the Spirit of God said, not yet. So all these years later, we're still in the same house. God hasn't said sell the house and give the money away. But I've sought to be a giver to missions at a greater level. As a church, and we started a school, and so our church and school is still closely linked, but much more closely linked then. We built the first building, and we didn't have a huge debt, but by our standards then as a church, we had a huge debt. And the interest rate went to 22%. So on every $100,000, we were paying $22,000 interest. That was back in the early 90s. And so I thought, I got to ask God, what's the way forward here? That's pretty hard work. That's crippling us. Look, the income of our church was probably about $40,000. So $22,000 is quite an extensive amount of money. So I went to the Lord in prayer and he said, I want you to do this. He said, I want you to take 10% of the income of the church and give it to missions. And he said, I want you personally, meaning me, we have a mother's room, if that would make you more comfortable. We love kids, by the way. I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable here. We love kids. But sometimes it's a bit of a distraction to other parents. So there's a mother's room over there, which you can take children that are a bit restless to. And God bless you. And so the principle of the thing was, God said, I want you to give $100 a week. Now, my income was about $600 a week at that stage, and I was tithing. And then to give an extra $100 to missions was going to be a great challenge. But I decided that we would do that. So Denise and I agreed in principle that we'd do that, so we began to do that. We never lacked. We were never short. We never ran out of finance. We were able to meet all our commitments to do the things we needed to do. Because God is a blessing God. When you're obedient to the Lord, he will respond in that. And so I have always made missions a priority in my giving. I believe it's an important thing to do. and I've seen God bless. The other thing to consider is this. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so by that, we understand, and of course, we're the children of Abraham, so God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to other people. You're hearing me this morning. You need to get a grip of this. And there was a time when we did a monthly offering for missions. Every month we did it on the first Sunday of the month, but we haven't been doing that. We stopped taking up collections. You know, we asked people to give online if they give because COVID came and we weren't wanting to do that. And I don't think we want to go back to passing around the offering bag. I think I want to encourage people to be strong enough and mature enough to say, hey, I'm going to get behind this. I'm going to involve myself in giving and I'll do it online. Consider, missions has a twofold aspect. One is to help the financially poor. The second is to help the spiritually poor. Now, often they're the same, but I'm just pointing that out. And I make this comment because there are people in hell who are both rich and poor. So rich didn't keep them out of hell, being poor didn't keep them out of hell. And so we need to be thinking, while we help them physically, I see that Brett and Val do that in Kununurra, the other people we're involved with, they help people physically. You know, they do projects like that. What we're involved with in Borneo is to help children get an education. That's important, but they're also getting a great aspect of Christianity in their lives. So we've got to do both. But if I'm going to give to anything, I believe it's to help the spiritually poor, because we want people to be born again. We want people to know Jesus. And therefore, where we can help missions to go and do that, or even in our own community, I think we sow our hearts into that and to meet the needs of people, their spiritual and their physical needs. I want to read you a psalm this morning. Psalm 67 says, God be gracious and kind-hearted to us. This is out of the Amplified Bible. And bless us and make his face shine with favour on us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation and deliverance amongst all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the people fairly and guide the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its harvest as evidence of his approval. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. What really that psalm is saying, God bless us. And then we will bless others, and all the peoples will praise you. And you get into your heart a system of understanding that if I bless people in the name of the Lord, then that brings honor and glory to God. And so that's a psalm of missions. On a personal level, I seek wealth. I set my heart to accumulate wealth. Not that I might be wealthy, but in the accumulation of wealth, I have something to give. You see, you can say, well, I'm happy to be poor. But if you're poor, how can you help other people? How can you financially help other people? I know you can help them practically, but how can you help financially? And so the Bible is, Deuteronomy, it says, it's the Lord who gives you power to get wealth. And so you understand something, that God's intent is to bless people with wealth. Now, a lot of folk will sort of draw back from that and say, no, Christians should be poor but honest. Yeah, well, that's great. But what do you do for the kingdom of God if that's the truth? You haven't got something then to help other people with. And then that psalmist said, all the peoples will praise you. How can they praise God if we're not helping them where we can and what we have? And so there's nothing wrong with seeking to be wealthy. It's only if you make that the focus of your life, and it's only if you want it for your own benefit. So I seek to be wealthy. I will not let that distract me from the kingdom of God. And with that wealth, I want to give into the kingdom of God and keep giving and giving. And you know one thing I've found? The more I give, the more God gives back. The more I bless, the more God blesses. So I'm just encouraging you. Let's be givers. Let's desire to see the wealth of God come into our lives so that we have something to give. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be blessed in the wealth and use some of it for yourself. But if that's your heart, that's the wrong spirit. The right spirit says, God, bless me so I can bless others. But in the blessing, God says, I want you to be blessed too. Do you understand me? Please understand my heart. I'm not promoting a wealth gospel here. I'm not promoting a blab it and grab it type gospel. You know, it's all for you and everything you can have and many houses and many cars and many holidays. I don't seek that. I want to live simply. You can only live in one house at a time. You can only sleep in one bed at a time. You can only drive in one car at a time. So why would you want 20 cars? Well, if that's your desire, I'd like to see it change. Okay, so I've said that missions is one of our pillars, and it's been at the core of this church from the earliest days of its existence. Our board decided, we met together, we talked about it, and we agreed missions had to be an important aspect of the church, as it was before I came to the church. Missions was important, and we continued that on. And let me go back to a lady who began this church back in she came to Mackay in 1913 from Melbourne. She'd been baptised in the Holy Spirit. She was bringing the message of Pentecost to this city where I don't think it had been proclaimed at that time. And then people began to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Her name was Annie Smith, and she became Annie Dennis. This lady, amazing lady, was responsible for planting churches from Cairns to Rockhampton, either directly or she imparted to others, as she did to the Enticknap brothers in Inkerman, where they received the Holy Spirit and they went down and planted a church in Townsville. She saw many great healings in her ministry at that time. She preached the gospel and many got saved, and she never held a credential, Brian. Can you believe that? Because the AOG didn't believe that women should be ministers. Can you, in this day and age, I cannot fathom that. This woman probably established more churches, saw more people come to the Lord, saw more healings than most ministers in the AOG then and now, and she never held a credential. That was the bias of some of the guys that were there. And we cut off a lot of good ministry throughout our country because of that. That's a little aside. Just let me get over that and I'll feel better. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up and just share. Denise comes from a Chinese descent. Her mum is European, her dad was Chinese, and her grandmother is Chinese. And we called her Nana Loy. Her name was Margaret Loy, or people call her Sister Loy or whatever. And she was just a short woman and not much of her, and you'd think a breeze would just take her away. But she was a great lady, and my wife has a great legacy from her.
Okay, this story I actually only found out in 2017. So my grandmother, Nana Loy, went to live in Normanton in the late 1950s. And in 2017, I was invited to go and be a part of the opening of a new building of the Gulf Christian College, which is in Normanton, which they named or dedicated to my Nana because of her involvement up there for almost 25 years. And so in gathering some research to give a speech at the opening, this was a story I found out from a man who was part of, I'll explain it in a minute. Anyway, so Annie Dennis that Rob has just talked about, in 1930, she was ministering in the town of Ayr. Anybody here from Ayr? I know, yes, okay. So, yes, it was just a very small town back then. And my grandparents lived in Ayr and they had a shop. And my grandmother was not a Christian at that point, but Annie Dennis came into the shop and my grandmother said to her, "You look kind of down. What's the problem?" And she said, "Well, the problem is this, is that the council are going to evict us from the church building or the building that we're having church in, and I'm wanting to buy a block of land and it costs £40, but I need a £10 deposit and we don't have any money." Because she was mostly ministering to the South Sea Islander people at that time. And it must have been God, but my grandmother, who was not a Christian, said, "I will give you £10. She took £10 out of the cash register and gave that to Annie Dennis for the church in Ayr. 50 years later, or a little bit less than 50 years later, the Ayr Church got involved in building a church in Normanton. My grandmother had prayed for 25 years for a church, for a pastor and a church building in Normanton where she lived. She had been holding meetings under the mango tree in her backyard, and she had a lot of beautiful Indigenous people part of that. In fact, the current pastor's wife is one of the young Indigenous women. Well, she was a young Indigenous girl, teenager, that my Nana had a tremendous influence over her life. She subsequently went on to James Cook University to study to become a teacher, and then, of course, met a husband who was also a teacher. They taught on the Gold Coast for many years, and then they moved back to Normanton, and they're now pastoring. But the thing was is that in 1930, my grandmother gave £10 for the Air Church. In 1950... the Normanton opened their church debt-free 50 years later after my grandmother had given and after she had prayed. And the man that told me that story, he was the one that was there helping to build the church. Just on a little aside, because the Air Church was the one that got behind that and helped to fund that church. But he was telling me that when they announced in the Air Church that they had bought this prefabricated building, they were going to ship it or send it up to Normanton, and that there was a group of them going up to erect that building. He said there was a businessman who had just recently become a Christian, and his business was not doing good, but he put a note in the offering to say, I will cover all of the shipping costs for that building to go to Normanton. By the time that church opened, that man had sold millions of dollars worth of equipment and was running at a major profit. So just miracle after miracle. When you sow into the kingdom of God, God just does miraculous things and blesses and, answers prayers.
Thanks, Carolyn. That's great. Listen, when you do that for the kingdom of God, you touch God's heart. We can touch God's heart in worship. But you know, sometimes worship has a different face. Worship can be what we do to help other people, because Jesus said, love your brother. Worship can be what we give at the same time. And so this Nana Loy was an amazing, amazing lady. She was a shopkeeper. £10 in 1930, which was a quarter of the price of the land. Well, you know what land costs today, so just take a quarter of that. It was a huge amount of money then. She was unsaved. But she sowed a seed that came back to her. That woman didn't die with much substance. She was in Normanton, and she ministered to the Aboriginal people there, the Indigenous people. She started under the mango tree to preach the gospel, and people were getting saved and began to collect, and then ultimately they were able to build that church that my wife spoke about. But the thing was, when she left Normanton, which was probably after 1980 sometime, so she'd been a shopkeeper for a long, long time. When she left, she was owed about $10,000 by Indigenous families in Normanton. And she wasn't worried about that at all, because she wouldn't see a family go hungry. And she was generous. And so she was not a person that accumulated wealth, but she was a person who sowed the seed of the love of the gospel in what she did. She made a great sacrifice. And I honour that lady, as I said, diminutive in size and shape, but a giant when you're talking about spiritual things. And she left a great legacy to a family, to a son, to a granddaughter, and into the families beyond that by what she did. And that leads me to the next thought. Parents, what would you leave your children? Some parents say, I want to leave a great inheritance to my children, my grandchildren, beyond that. But I'm asking you this question. What will you leave them that will really be measured, and particularly for eternity? And I challenge you in this, by all means, accumulate wealth and leave an inheritance. But I think more importantly, leave a heritage. Leave something to your family that is much greater than just taking unto yourself, acquiring a lot of money and leaving a lot of money behind. The interesting thing is, you can't take anything with you. I wonder why some people work so hard to make money and they don't, you know, nothing can go with them. It just doesn't happen. So why not sow into the kingdom and leave it as a heritage for your children? In Acts 13:36, it says of King David that he, after he'd served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried among his fathers and experienced decay. Served his generation. We're here for such a time as this. We're here for this generation. I can't take responsibility for 100 years ago, even for 50 years ago, but I can take responsibility for now. And what am I doing? And I have to answer to the Lord, and I want to have a right answer for God. So the missions commitment of this church has always been high. We give at least 20, but sometimes 25% of our income to missions. We've made that a principle over the years to keep doing that. And God has blessed our church because of that. But we want more than financial blessing. We want the hand of God to be upon us. We want the hand of God to work in our lives. We want to be drawn closer to Him. That's part of the process. Worship sometimes wears a different face. Then can I say that you can make a difference in the life of another person who you might never meet in this life. And I want to show you some slides of missions we're involved with, just so you're aware. I think it's important. Some of you haven't been in our church for a long time, so you probably don't know. Some of you do know. So let's get the slides up there, and I'll just explain briefly what's involved. Thank you. The mission slides, please. And you can see there the lovely face of... yeah. Maybe I should put my photo up there with the statements. Are we stuck? Here we go. Neighbourhood, keep going. All right, Josh and Belinda Graves. They were here just a matter of weeks ago, and I think many of you were particularly affected by what they shared, how they ministered to street children and made an arrangement so that they can go back into homes to live. They don't open an orphanage, and then provide education. Because of the great poverty, education is one of the ways out of poverty, and that's why it's important. But at the same time, sowing Christianity there. Now, there's another opportunity with that organisation, that they have the opportunity to bring children from further away who would be street children, but they've arranged for their families or for other families to take them in. But they need buses to transport them to the centre where the school is. And it's about $400 a month to provide a bus driver to do that. $400 a month. I wish we'd get a bus driver at $400 a month. That would be wonderful. So there's a project that we can be involved in, and our school is looking at getting involved in that as well, to bring other children in to give them education. You don't know what a difference it could make in the life of a child by that opportunity. And the next slide. Thank you. Yes, keep going. That's Sophia, where Josh and Belinda are. There's the shed they started in. Brett and Val, we saw the little video clip there talking about what they're doing in Kununurra. That's, I tell you, 42 degrees with the sort of humidity we get here in the middle of summer. I just can't absorb it. It's just amazing. Go next, Val. Thank you. This is Wolfgang and Heidi. They are from Germany and they're based in Borneo, in the island of Borneo, which is part of Indonesia. That was started by a couple from this church. I should just mention Brett and Valor from this church. That was started by a couple from this church who went up there and realised that children were not getting an education, that there were villages. And I've stayed in the villages. It's subsistence living. It's really very hard. And John would go up there and he'd go in and he'd build a, I guess, like a hall, but they'd use it as a church, but it was also a local community hall. He'd put a pump in so they'd get water out of the ground and try and connect the electricity into the village for them, all of those positive things. But that gave him the right then to share the gospel. And the point being, because he brought the children in for education, so they come and live in the hostel there, the foundation hostel, and then go to school. They don't run a school at the hostel. They send them to local schools, number of schools. And I've been there at 6 a.m. in the morning when the kids are off to school. There's mist around. It's cool. And then they come home by midday and the others go off at midday till 6 p.m. Schools are multi-used because they don't have spare buildings. So this couple has taken that on. Now, at the moment, they've been stuck in Germany because they've had COVID and some other issues, but they'll go back. The other team is still running it and running it well. It's a great work, and we've been supporting that probably for 25 years now, and the children that are there, beautiful kids, just wonderful. You go there to their chapel service and hear these kids worshipping the Lord. It's just amazing. And it's just wonderful to be involved with that. Next slide, please. And this is Peter and Robin Patterson. This is Ben's parents. And they were pastors in Townsville for many years, but then decided that they were going to get involved in missions. So they were involved in Sri Lanka. They've spent time over there. They had a flat over there. They would spend half the year there. They're also involved now in Bangladesh. And so that has been somewhat limited because of COVID. But at the same time, this is the great thing about Zoom and other means of communication, they've been able to continue teaching in a Bible college there and training up leaders. And so they're doing a great work. And they've been an inspiration. We don't, we are supporting them to a degree, and we're pleased to do that. Next slide is, this is a young man in Sri Lanka. He's a part of the youth work that's happening there. We as a church are supporting him so he can continue the good work that God is doing amongst young people in Sri Lanka. It's been a great work, hasn't it, Pastor Kane? Great work. Pastor Kane's been up there, preached, shared, and seen what God is doing. So next slide. And this is Pastor Cammy and Karen Dalmeida. We haven't had Cammy in for a few years, but he's working in Sri Lanka. He's got a new project on there because there's such unrest, because of the financial difficulties they're suffering up there. There's a lack of fuel, there's a lack of food, but he's working with people and they are working with young people who are, and these are non-Christian young people, who are very discontented with life and what's happening in their country. And so they're going in and just working alongside of them and encouraging them. I think I told you the story of how the young man, I did tell you the story, but I'll tell you again. They go to where there's demonstrations and crowds of these young people. And one of the young men that's working with Cammy went to this other young guy who'd come just to see what was happening. And he said, you have something in your pocket? He said, no, I've got nothing in my pocket. He said, yes, you have. You've got a little bottle in your pocket. And the guy was shocked. And he said, could you come with me? And he sort of took him aside. They went down the beach. And he said, I have got this little bottle in my pocket and it's poison. I spent the last of my money to get on a bus to come to this demonstration and find out what it was all about. And then I was going to swallow this poison on this very beach. End of the story. Young man gave his life to the Lord. There's hope. There's hope. And we're part of that. So next slide, please. Faye Walkling in Thailand. We've seen she's just a legend up there, a local. Keep going. Next slide. And Peter and Elma Detoy. These are Jacques' parents. They've worked in Sudan. They've worked in Zambia. They're involved in other countries, but they're now based back in the northern part of South Africa. Working from there. I think that's it. We don't have another one, do we? I think. Yeah. These are great people. And we're honoured to be a part of what they're doing. We share in what they're doing because we give finance to support them in what we're doing. I once was talking to a guy. He's a pastor down in Penrith. And he was leading about our missions work based in Victoria. And he said this. He said, I see two kinds of people. Those who go and those who give so they can go. And I thought that's a pretty astute way of putting it. So I have no embarrassment to ask you to give to missions. No embarrassment at all, because it's such a great project for us to do that. But I want to conclude with a word from Corinthians. And I'm going to read a number of verses, and it'll be up there on the screen for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And God is able to make all grace, every favour and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. As it is written, and forever remains written, he, the benevolent and generous person, scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service offering is not only supplying the needs of the saints, which are God's people, but is also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Because of this act of ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. Can I say this? Our giving glorifies God. And here's the word of God saying, God will supply so you can give. This is the realm of faith. And so this is what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to set before you this project in the next 12 months to say, God, I want to give whatever to missions. Let's say $5,000 to missions. And I believe you are going to be the person who supplies. Do you hear me? And so you're trusting God. And so as you begin to give, let God begin to bless and bless so that you can bless others. We want to be a blessing church. We do not want to be people who just sit in our own blessing. It's like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is so full of salt, nothing grows there. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people who be such a blessing, to bring a blessing to others so that God will be glorified. So I say this, remember the Bema seat. There's rewards, there's judgments. What I'm praying for is when we get to the Bema seat, that the Lord will say, hey, you did so well. I want to hear him say that about you. You've done great. You've been obedient. You've been involved. You gave to missions. You were just, I am so pleased, and I want to give you a crown, a reward on your life. It's all about love. It all starts and finishes with love. I don't know the people in Kununurra. I've not been there. But I choose to love them. I don't know the people necessarily in parts of Borneo. I used to know the kids in the school, but they've all moved on. They've all graduated. There's a whole new range of kids in Borneo in the school. Or in Sri Lanka. Or in India. Or wherever else we're involved with. But I choose to love them, even though I don't know them. And in that love, I intend to be generous. And I invite you to join me in that role. And I pray that you will take a project to give to missions. And so I'm going to ask you to stand this morning because I'm going to pray. And in the prayer, I'm going to pray that God will lay on your heart a challenge to give. Remember, he challenged me to give $100 a week, and my income was $600 a week, and I had costs. But God is good. If you will trust him, you will see the provision come, okay? Believe me, let's go in faith. Father, this morning, thank you that we can be a blessing to others. Thank you that you impart into our lives substance and ability to be able to impart. May that continue. I pray, Lord, that you will challenge the hearts of people about their giving, that you'll lay something in their heart of something you want them to give, the amount you want them to give. But, Lord, as they begin to respond, that they will see that God is not a debtor to any man, that God is the provider of what he intends to get to the hands of other people to support the missionaries on the field or wherever they might be. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray your blessing over every person, so that they might walk in that way to honour you, that you be glorified in what we do. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Amen and amen. Let's just worship together for a minute, and then I want to just pray that blessing over you and invite you to have morning tea. As I said, we have muffins, so that's a win-win, isn't it? A good cup of coffee and a good muffin. Is it any better than that? Some of you aren't smiling, so it must be. Thanks, worship team. Let's take it away.